growth. And it's good for the man, it's good for the congregation, it's a good thing. But that's not the angle I'm coming from tonight. I'm not really preaching to you or doing a preaching lesson. This is a message presented from the standpoint of serving you as an elder. And so I wanted you to keep that in the back of your mind as I go through this. So Zacchaeus was a tax collector who resided in Jericho, and he wanted to meet Jesus. And when he heard that he was coming, Zacchaeus climbed a tree so he could see. There were crowds and he was short. When passing by, Jesus saw him, and Jesus said, "Hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house." Notice that Zacchaeus had no issues with Jesus coming to his house. When we became Christians, we sought Jesus out, and he responded like he did to Zacchaeus, "I'm coming to your house today." In other words, we opened a door, we set a stage for an invite, and an invite to be close and personal, not distant and impersonal. When someone becomes a Christian, that's what happens. We recognize that there is a God, that I haven't been living the way he wants me to, and that needs to change. And in order for change, the relationship needs to become close and personal. Otherwise, change will not take place. If you're a Christian, Jesus came to your house. And the result of that meant, for most of us, there was a lot of housekeeping to do. Zacchaeus didn't waste any time in dealing with the housekeeping. He said, "Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much." So Zacchaeus was wealthy and apparently holding out, not sharing the wealth that God had blessed him with. Also, it appears that he was cheating people and padding that wealth. I like his honesty and desire to deal with the wrongs in his life. He recognized that the Lord is coming to my house, and if I'm going to be right with the Lord, then I've got some housekeeping to do. We recognize that when we made a decision to come to Christ. When we wanted to be right with the Lord, then we also had housekeeping to do. This message is about housekeeping. The housekeeping needed to be right with God, and the ability to maintain that relationship. There are some things we should know about housekeeping, but first I want to clarify what I'm talking about when I say housekeeping. So, there is sin, and then there is the behavior. Sin is the act that was committed, the thing that we did to displease God. And then there's the behavior that caused the sin. That is the actions that committed the sin. So you could say, this guy over here, he's drunk. And we know that drunkenness is a sin. The Bible clearly points that out. But what was it that caused the drunkenness? What is the behavior? Well, the consuming of the alcohol. You could smell it on his breath. And if it was the desires there and the craving and that ability to, consume the alcohol. There's the behavior that caused the sin. And so we know this, that God forgives our sin. This is a great thing. But that's not what I'm talking about when I'm talking about housekeeping. When I'm talking about housekeeping, I'm talking about the behavior, dealing with what caused the sin, the behavior that caused the sin. So when we came into Christ, we were forgiven of sin. That's important because we know that sin separated us from God. But while the sin was forgiven, we still had within us the behavior that caused the sin. The desire, the craving, the the ability to perform that. God did not take that away. Housekeeping is about recognizing the behavior that resulted in or caused a sin and then changing it. That's not to say sin is not an issue, it's just not the emphasis of this message. The emphasis of this message is about changing the behavior, because not changing the behavior that caused the sin will cancel out the forgiveness of it. In fact, putting a Christian in a worse state than they were before they became one. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20, "For if after they have escaped the defilements of the world by the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and are overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first." I think the message is an obvious one. But the tendency is to become, when it comes to our part, the dealing with the behavior, the things that we have to do, volume goes down, things get kind of fuzzy. Receiving is great. Receiving the forgiveness, that's a great thing. But giving, that's our part, the things we have to do, what God expects of us, that can be a little more difficult. Housekeeping is our part. The behaviors we need to change that cause the sin, it has a direct bearing on how close and personal the relationship is with our Heavenly Father. Zacchaeus dealt with the sin and corruption in his life, and he did the housekeeping. And doing that restored his relationship with the Father. So, what did he change? He gave to the poor, and he stopped defrauding those. But I'm a Christian, and I've been born again of water and of the Spirit, just as in John chapter 3, verse 5. I dealt with sin. I did that. Do you remember that day? Being in a church building, in the baptistry, or where there was enough water to be immersed, sins washed away by the blood of Christ. What about right now? Has anything changed since then? Is Jesus still at your house? Is your house neat and in order as the day you were converted? Or is it in disarray, dirty, disorganized? What does Christ see going on in your life right now? Would it be a fearful thing for the Lord if the Lord were at your door today? Or can you say with great confidence and rejoicing that the Lord is here? As an elder, I want you to be rejoicing. And so we can rejoice, a reminder on how important it is to keep house. A good housekeeper knows the constant attention it takes to deal with the dirt and the crud and the disorganized environment we create on a daily basis. And we do. Don't underestimate the constant effort housekeeping takes. I know this now more than ever. Being retired, or at least semi-retired for the last couple of years, I've been doing more household chores, laundry, dishes, vacuuming, bathrooms, general organizing, it never ends. Even with just two in the house, it seems we can't go a day without making a mess. This is life. We can't go a day without making some kind of mess, or at least tempted to. It's easier than hitting the easy button. Housekeeping is a constant effort. One reason people who, in my observation, struggle with housekeeping or just don't do it, do so because the constant attention it takes gets diverted to something else. Then that diversion consumes a person's life, creates blindness, the result being they no longer see the situation they're in. They don't see the dirt, the crud, and the disorganization in their life. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, this is the message. The script John teaches us. This is the message we have heard from him and announce to you that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So John confirms the situation. If we walk in the darkness, in other words, we can't see the dirt and the crud and the disorganization, we lie and we do not practice the truth. So the result of that, walking in the darkness, is the cleaning does not get done. That makes sense. Because if I can't see the problem, well, then there's no problem. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we walk in the light, that is, if we're constantly engaged in that activity, this is the housekeeping, then we are cleansed from all sin. In other words, the cleaning gets done. Walking in the light is a constant, not a one-time event. It's walk, as in the present tense. I am doing this right now, as we speak. Not walked, as in something that needed to be done, or I did that, I checked that box, and okay, I can forget about that. To walk is to say we are in that constant process in the light, meaning that we can see what needs to be done. The point being, housekeeping is a constant process. Job said in Job chapter 14, at verse 14, he said, all the days of my struggle, I will wait until my change comes. Job recognized the constant effort needed to maintain his relationship with the Lord. He recognized the devotion would be all the days, not just a day, or some days, or whenever it was convenient. He recognized the constant need to do the housekeeping. Paul linked the constant effort in housekeeping with our salvation. In Philippians chapter 2 at verse 12, he encouraged the church at Philippi and said, so then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Our salvation will be worked out because we develop a consistent manner in dealing with sin. Obeying or obedience is the proof that housekeeping is in the process. I've cleaned the house, and now I'm doing the things that are pleasing to God. Always is not just being done when I think I'm being observed, but in a manner this is the way I want to live. No oversight is necessary. I don't need supervision. In the workplace, employees are always on their best behavior when the boss is around, but what about when the boss is gone? You know you have a good employee when they deliver consistent behavior. They don't need constant supervision. Likewise, you know when you have a good housekeeper, when they do the things that they should be doing in a consistent manner. That's the kind of people Paul praised at Philippi, and that's the kind of people we want to be. Consistency is important because it's directly linked to our salvation. Not being consistent puts our salvation at risk. Good housekeeping is walking in the light, as in right now, the current, not as in a one-time event. Doing this all the days of our struggle, every day that God blesses us with, and always, as in I don't need any oversight because I realize how important this is and what's at stake. Good housekeeping takes consistent effort. Housekeeping is also about being thorough. Remember what John said, the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Imagine being thoroughly dirty and only washing a foot. Would you feel clean? Would you be clean? John told us we are cleansed from all sin, which means not specific as in one sin in one part of my life, but we were forgiven of all the sin in every part of our lives. When Paul said that we were buried in baptism, it signified a completeness. If someone dies, they don't get partially buried. Being buried supports the fact that being baptized is a complete immersion in water, not something partial. Nobody wants to be partially cleansed or partially forgiven. Nobody wants to hear the insurance company say, "We're only going to pay for part of that claim. We're only going to pay for part of that repair." John makes it clear, since all sin is forgiven, then we need to be housekeeping the whole house, not just part of it. But is that what we do? Is there a room where we store junk? Or is there dirt we choose to ignore? "Yeah, I see it, but that's okay. I can live with that." Were we not completely buried, completely immersed for the remission of our sins? Didn't we get rid of all the sin? Or did we put some in storage and reserve for another time? As in, this is what helped me get through a situation when I was in the world. I better keep it just in case. Or, "Thank you for forgiving me of being drunk, but can you please let me keep the behavior, the desire, the craving, the addiction that caused it, and just keep forgiving me?" May it never be. May it never be. Rather than, now that I'm in Christ, get rid of all the negative behaviors and recognize the way to deal with it, the housekeeping, is to utilize the tools God gave me, not the tools the world gave me. The Apostle Paul in his letter to the Colossians said in Colossians chapter 3 at verse 5, "Put to death therefore whatever belongs to your earthly nature." Notice the word "whatever." Then he lists some things of the earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed. It's not just sexual immorality. It's not just impurity. It's not just lust. It's not just evil desires or greed, but all of it. Some of us may have been plagued with all of this and more. The expectation set for those in Christ is to deal with all of it. Paul comes back again and emphasizes the same point in verse 8, Colossians chapter 3, verse 8. "But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these." And then another list: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language. It's not just anger, just rage or malice or slander. It's all of it, all such things. It's not about picking a behavior and work on just that issue. If we deal with only one sin, then we are subject to being tricked with false reasoning. It works like this. So you ask yourself the question, or somebody asks you the question, are you doing that self-check? And you go, "Well, am I dealing with sin? Okay, am I dealing with the behavior?" And yeah, I'm dealing with it. Yeah, I haven't said a bad word all day long. Okay, well, so that's something that's true. I've been working on that. So if that's true, then I'm dealing with sin, right? I'm doing the housekeeping. Okay. But the reality is, I'm not dealing with the addiction that's controlling my life, the evil desires, the malice, the slander, the lust, the greed, and so on. All I did was trick myself into thinking, yeah, I'm dealing with the sin because I'm working on this one thing. Don't get tricked into thinking, if I'm dealing with one behavior, then everything is okay. Deal with all of it and be thorough. Something people do when they're in the market for a house is a drive-by. Don't confuse that with a shooting. I'm talking about the way to get a feel for the property or the house that you want to look at. And then if something piqued your interest, then comes the inside tour. And so that can be a whole different story. Looked good on the outside, but then you went on the inside. That's a whole different story. When Jesus spoke to the scribes and Pharisees, he said in Matthew chapter 23, verse 25, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup, of the dish, but the inside, they are full of robbery and self-indulgence." So their outward presentation looked good, and the inward did not. They were cleaning the outside, but not the inside. We're subject to the same behavior. We can be doing the housekeeping on the outside and ignore the inside. So not looking at the motives, but just the fact that that can happen. That's partial housekeeping. It's an approach Jesus condemned the Pharisees for, and it's something we want to be mindful of when doing our housekeeping. The commitment is about being all in. We walk in the light, not in a gray area. Housekeeping is exactly that, not partial, but complete and thorough. And complete and thorough, dealing with all the behaviors that caused sin, not just some. That's the expectation that God set for his people. So here's my final point about housekeeping. Housekeeping is a personal responsibility. Personal responsibility. Someone else is not going to clean up our mess. The preacher's not going to do it. Teachers can't. Deacons can't. Elders can't. And most importantly to note, God is not going to clean our mess up. Housekeeping is a personal responsibility. If you go into your child's room and you see a mess, do you clean it up? Or do you set the expectation for them to do it? Sometimes people come into Christ thinking, God is going to reach into my life. He's going to come into my house and remove the behaviors that resulted in the sin and somehow magically replace them with the good behaviors I need to change my life. Don't confuse the sin God is forgiving with the behavior that resulted in the sin. It's an easy thing to think, okay, God took away the sin, therefore God took away the behavior that caused the sin. No, he did not do that. Changing behavior is our responsibility. Zacchaeus recognized the need to change his behavior that was contrary to the teaching of Christ. He told Jesus, "Behold, Lord, half my possessions I will give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much." Zacchaeus took action. He took personal responsibility. These were the issues, the behaviors in his life that were not approved based on what Jesus was teaching. And he stepped up with no reservation to correct the wrongs. Note that changing his behavior had a financial impact. In John chapter 8, at verse 3, the Pharisees caught a woman in adultery. The Pharisees were testing Jesus and saying, "Let's see how he deals with this. The law says such a woman should be stoned. What do you say, Jesus?" In godly wisdom, Jesus responded, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." This resulted in all of them leaving. What did Jesus say to the woman? "No one has condemned you. Go now and leave your life of sin." In other words, change your behavior. Don't go back home and pick up where you left off. The expectation was set for her to get her behavior out of the house, out of her life, the behavior that was resulting in the sin. She was in an immoral sexual relationship with someone else. That was wrong, and Jesus was saying, stop doing that. He did not say, I'm going to come in and clean your house and clean this mess up for you. Jesus was not going to break up the adulterous relationship and resolve whatever drama would come along in the process. He didn't say, I'm going to solve the financial benefit lost because of the sin. And he didn't say he would stop the pain and emotion from that withdrawal process. What Jesus was saying is, you take responsibility, leave your life of sin. When people want to be right with God, setting the expectation for a change in behavior is nothing new. When Joshua was advanced in years and had led Israel to the promised land, he spoke to them these words in Joshua chapter 24, verses 19 through 23. Joshua said to the people, you are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. I believe what he's trying to say there is that you don't have what it takes. You don't have it. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after he has been good to you. But the people said to Joshua, no, we will serve the Lord. Then Joshua said, you are witnesses against yourself. You have chosen to serve the Lord. Yes, we are witnesses, they replied. Now then, said Joshua, throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. Some translations for foreign gods use idols. I would agree with either one. Change your behavior. Stop worshiping these idols. Stop worshiping the foreign gods. Clean your house. Get them out. Get rid of them. Throw them away. That was their responsibility. God did not say he was going to come in and clean the house for them. Cleaning shocked their world, as we can expect it to shock ours. Remember, idols were not just something that they bowed down to. Yes, that happened. It's just not a statue that, or a little thing or whatever to bow down to. Idols were directly linked to protection, prosperity, and immediate gratification, as devised and experienced by man. That's not to be confused with the protection God gives and what he provides for his people. The change in behavior that God demanded was not easy for these people. Idols had a direct link to their physical well-being, their pocketbook, their addictions, and their allegiances to the world. Changing their behavior towards idols came with a cost, but the expectation was set that if they were going to be right with God, then they needed to take that personal responsibility and get these foreign gods and these idols out of their houses. Zacchaeus changed his behavior. The adulterous woman, we don't know, but we do know what expectation was set. And the Israelites, at least for the short term, changed. Housekeeping rests on the shoulders of any person seeking to be right with God. Doing the housekeeping defines if we are right with God or not. The approach to it takes consistency, completeness, and a willingness to take personal responsibility. The result of good housekeeping is has stated to Zacchaeus, as Jesus stated to Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19 at verse 9. He says, today salvation has come to this house. My encouragement is to keep the house clean. Walk in the light. Keep your eyes open for the dirt and the crud that we can easily track in from the world. It's our responsibility to do the housekeeping. God is forgiving us of the sin, but in turn, we are expected to change the behavior that resulted in the sin. God expects this of his people. Our salvation depends on it. That's my message. If you're struggling in any way in this area, well, we're together as a family right now, and you can take advantage of this time that we're together. We can offer prayers. If you are not a Christian and you're thinking about being a Christian, well, take advantage of this time because we can help you in that. So if there's a need, so we stand and sing.